Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to Greg Lancaster. I want to welcome all of our Christian Television Network audience today. We are so encouraged to be here with you. Also, our VFN radio audience around the nation and around the world. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
And a little bit later on in some of our programs, don't forget we have four programs back to back. Hopefully, sometime this week, we're also going to have Steve Kalaszewski is talking about the history of the womb of Pensacola, the hub of America, and the womb of America. And can't wait for to be able to hear that as well. Man, just real quick, like I want to be able to just begin a conversation this week and just stay tuned about Nehemiah. I mean, Nehemiah is so important to really understand. All of God's word is written to be able to encourage us, to inspire us, to instruct us. And, you know, we're going into a time of fasting and prayer for a period of time. We personally are for about a week, 7 days, but also in the city that we're in is going into a time of 40 days of prayer and fasting as everybody's participating in it. And I encourage you to join what God is saying in the beginning of this year. Just a time, believe me, if you could see ahead of what's happening in this year, you're going to say, man, I wish I would have sought the Lord while he was to be sought. And meditate on the book of Nehemiah during this time. And then, you know, once you've kind of worked your way through this small book Revelation there, you know, hover over Nehemiah chapter 1 and Nehemiah chapter 9, because that is the sum total of repentance. I mean, if you want to think about the sum total of repentance, and we're going to talk about that. You know, everybody's tired of hearing things like, I'm sorry, and nothing changes. Or even a big, huge celebration saying, I'm sorry. And they stretch it out, right? And yeah, right? It's like, you're true. Right. You are sorry. But nothing changes. And so, you know, repentance is specific. And it just challenges me, and it challenges, hopefully, all those that love the Lord. Is like, this is what it looks like.
Yeah.
This is what it looks like. And because it's under an oppressive government, but the oppressive government is there because God's people sinned. And it was all orchestrated by God. But then once God's people did a certain thing, God began to say, okay, I'm willing to orchestrate it a different way. Mm-hmm. And never once did Nehemiah give credit to the enemy for being in charge. He realized that these things were happening in his life and in the life of his people because they have sinned. They have disobeyed God. And there's some meetings that says, you are sorry. I'm gonna stretch out, right? You know, the blame couch. Can I go to therapy and explain to you why everybody else is my problem?
Right.
Yeah, right. It's like, right. I mean, as soon as I hear it, one moment of blame for justification for someone's present sin, I'm thinking, you ain't done yet.
Yeah.
I mean, so you're really ready to own it. You're really ready to own it. Then it's like, okay, you know, you got some more process. Because if you're held captive, you know, blame stands for, but look at my excuse, the reason why I'm rebelling against God. Mm-hmm. But look at my excuse. And the thing is that, no, you got to own it. And Nehemiah owns it. I mean, he owns it. He talks about Second Street. I mean, he talks about everything. And then he acknowledges everything and the whole progression. So hopefully we get a chance to really soak on that today. And also we're going to be talking about the Palestinians.
Yes, the Palestinians, the minister of religious affairs is actually calling for jihad in Jerusalem. And that's not nothing, anything new, but what's astonishing when you look at it is that the president of the Palestinian movement is actually applauding these statements right in the middle of trying to supposedly, allegedly, negotiate a peace deal for some land with Israel and the United States. So we're going to talk more about this, but let me tell you, keep your eye on Israel. Keep your eye on Israel.
Yeah, and then ever how goes Israel, so goes the church. And we need to be praying for the peace of Israel.
No doubt.
Peace of Jerusalem. And understand that Israel's in the condition that it is right now because the church is in the condition that it is. I mean, things are going to happen prophetically, yeah. But we don't want to be the one that God's using, our generation. You know, we want to be able to say, dear Lord, we want to be a Josiah generation that says, you know, hey, Could you not spare one, you know,
right,
pause, if you would, for a moment as well? And with Jerusalem, the negotiations that are going on with Jerusalem right now,
Well, they're expect. I mean, they're right now they're working with John Kerry, the Secretary of State. I don't have an exact date on when those deals are going to be finalized, but we do know that CBN was reporting that John Kerry is pushing for a deal by the spring. And we know spring on the prophetic calendar that, you know, the four blood moons are going to start.
According to NASA, they're going to start on April the 15th of 2014, and they last, 18 months or something in that nature?
Right.
And, yeah.
And so oftentimes in history, when you know, this prophetic word is that it begins in tears, but it ends in joy.
And deliverance. And, yeah.
So if you've missed any of these segments on the four blood moons, please be sure to get them on the Torch. Go to Torch by going to VFNTV.com and make sure you listen to them.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I'm finding that either people are on two sides. Either they are familiar with what God is saying, or they have no, you know, they don't have a grid. So get a grid, because you're going to need a grid for what's getting ready to happen.
Mm-hmm. Right. And it's meant to encourage you. You know, we're going to look at Nehemiah today and this week in our programs that over and over again, God sends people that he shares what's going on, how we got here and how we get back. And if we don't get back and we stay where we're going, how things will turn up. We call them prophets, but that's what that means. Somebody actually who tells you the future that God is saying that he would want to happen or doesn't want to happen, that will happen if you don't. So like a father that says, if you don't, then I'm going to, but if you, then I won't have to.
Right.
That type thing. And, just had a conversation, as a matter of fact, on VFN TV about fathering. And there's one thing about the father perspective has been so twisted that when a father acts natural, everybody thinks it's unnatural. You know, and when you look at God, who's a perfect father, which Jesus said, when you pray to God, understand he's our father. So when you pray to our father and see him as a father, and a father. And if you'll read Psalms 103, he talks about the forgiveness and the mercy and not remembering your sins. But he also says that I won't be angry with you forever, you know, which means I will be angry with you if you continue to do this stuff, because the root of anger is hurt. You're hurting the heart of God when you are continuing in this thing that you know that he says it's not right. It's not what he would want and not of God. And then he says that he won't accuse you forever. You know, confrontation, being confronted with your life, you know, and a true father, I mean, you're going to see, he's not going to sit back and just go, oh, whatever, you know, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. I mean, that's, you don't have a father anymore. You have a person in your life, but the culture has disempowered and twisted what a father is. And we know from thousands of them going into the wilderness that, you know, men and boys, they're all seeking, you know, what is masculinity? What is fathering? And because of this great attack on fatherhood over the decades, that it's tattered and torn, and the fragments of fatherhood is all over the place. And you just got to go around and pick the pieces up. And sometimes it takes a while to figure out, oh, well, that's not masculinity. That's not fatherhood. And you have to let that go because that was a culture type thing. But he does. God loves you. God forgives you. But also he confronts us and he disciplines us. Consider hardship as discipline. God is treating you as a son. Father God is treating you as God's son. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about that. Son of God. And so I just want to encourage you, hopefully get a chance to talk a little bit about that in this week, about understanding, begin to allow fathers to be fathers, because it comes pretty much naturally if he's present in the family and he has a relationship with God. But understand, if you repress his father qualities, don't be disappointed in his lack of husband qualities. You know, if you suppress him in being the father he needs to be, he finds no purpose in being the man you want him to be, because he's a natural, that just comes out of him natural in the context of that. And if his children, for example, you know, spiritual or natural, slapping him in the face, he's supposed to confront them.
Right.
He's supposed to say, this is not right. You shouldn't be saying, well, worry about little Bobby's emotions and this kind of stuff. Let's just give him some ADD medication so that he can, you know, relax a little bit. Let's just medicate him. And what did you do before this medication? You had fathers that would just say, hello, I'm going to medicate you for a while.
And some leather medication. At least I did.
Anyway, so the... These
you never made any mistakes. I'm sure you didn't have that problem.
Oh, no comment. Don't, let's, we're not going there. I'm not saying any of that right now. That's what these guys are saying. The what I'm saying
these
is,
yeah, right. I get into this. Right. Ooh, deep leg.
And so but understand that fathering, you know, is a balance between the kindness and the sternness of a father. That you know that his kindness is authentic and his sternness is authentic. And this is what the Word of God says. If I'm your father, I know I am on your lips, but if I am your father, where is my honor? Mm. And that's it. If you honor a father, natural fathering will come out of them because that's your benefit. The benefit for your life with your father, natural or spiritual, is to have the father's heart, God's heart, come through that man into your life. That's just the benefit of that. And what does he benefit from that? I mean, think about it. What does he actually benefit from that? Because you got to be stern and you got to be kind. You got to have this balance of everything and you're wanting the better for you. And it's you. It's the recipient of the father's heart. I mean, what does God benefit as a father from us going here or there? I mean, other than the fact that he sees us, you know, free from bondage and we love him in the context of that. But it's we're the ones that benefit from our relationship with Father God. Mm-hmm. And so many people are desperately demanding a father's attention while they're telling fathers, this is how you got to be a father. And it's like, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. And I just want to just encourage you in that today. So we're going to be having that conversation this week. Stay tuned to all of our programs, four programs back to back. We'll be right back after this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Religious censorship continues to happen in high schools all across America. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
My son has to give a speech at graduation, president of student government. He was told specifically by the administrator that the speech has to be inspirational without religious reference.
Well, that's absolutely incorrect. The student, as the designated speaker on an objective criteria here as the president of the Student Government Association, is allowed to give the message that he wants to give, that he thinks appropriate, without censorship or government removal of religious references. It can include a religious reference, and the student government president allowed to speak is a position where he's been able to speak because of a neutral criteria. It wasn't based on religious beliefs or practices. He was the student government president, and they get to speak at the graduation. So he's really should be in good shape.
Have you been discriminated against because of your religious beliefs? Visit ACLJ.org.
Listen, it is so important. You've got to learn God's voice. You've got to be able to hear his voice and obey. And we call that abiding. We talk about it all the time. There's a reason why, because what's about to happen, your only hope and your only chance of survival is that you know God and survival in the context of living through this in a way that you're free is to know God, to abide with God, to hear his voice and obey it. As a matter of fact, even Rick's talking about it right now. Listen up.
Things coming out we really need to pay attention to and get ready. But the simplicity of devotion to Christ is absolutely essential. The simplicity. And our response, we need to hear his word. We need to get to know his voice better, be absolutely resolved to know his voice better, and we need to get better at obeying his voice. Then we'll be on the rock. It doesn't matter what storms come, we're on the rock.
Listen, that's so very, very important because, listen, God loves, if you'll study God, if you'll study his word, then you'll understand he always rescues his people. He always has a plan to bring us out. You have to listen to his plan. You have to know him. You have to understand how to hear his voice. Yeah. And we even have on VFN TV where you can actually, you know, listen how to hear the voice of God. But listen, right now, you need to begin to abide with God, just like Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries is saying. And if you don't have a plan, we have a plan for you, a simple plan. It needs to be simple. It doesn't need to be tied into technology, and it's at iabide.org. We have a free plan for you. Go request your plan today at iabide.org.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, Greg Lancaster, joining me is Pat and John. We are talking about so many things this week. Make sure you stay tuned to all the programs, four programs back-to-back, 24-7, also 5 days a week on Christian Television Network. And we're going to be speaking about, hopefully, in this week's program, is about Nehemiah and just understanding that it is the sum total of repentance, But I know that right now, John, you're talking about that the Palestinians seem to be applauding this jihad.
Yes. The Blaze is reporting, and basically what's happening, this is really, I mean, this is in your face type of stuff that for some reason, oftentimes it's quite ignored. But on Palestinian television, the Palestinian Minister of Religious Affairs called Muslims now, in a speech, to flock to Jerusalem for a holy war. I mean, so he's rousing the people up, but he's saying this, and a bunch of people are applauding. But on the front row of this man who's giving the speech is the president of Abbas of the Palestinian movement. He's sitting on the front row and he's applauding. And we have a picture, and we're gonna place it for you on the torch so that you can see this. But this is all going on during a time in which, you know, the Palestinians are trying to get in a peace agreement with Israel, and the United States is brokering this deal,
right?
And they're pushing Israel to give up more land. And they can, man, this is not good. In fact, he goes on to further say in this speech, and you know, allegedly, because it's translated, and we're going to have you know, all the sources here for you. But he is saying that, hey, we're sending the wrong warriors basically to the wrong place, of Syria. We don't need to send them to Syria. He's calling for a holy war in Jerusalem.
Right.
And you got to understand that, listen, right now, I mean, we have to keep our eyes and our prayers directed towards the apple of God's eye.
Right.
That a lot of times this stuff is not even being reported or being shared.
Well, if we think about it, that, you know, our American leadership's doing this, promoting, they're in the same agreement with...
Yeah.
What they're publicly saying, and you're known by your, you know, your words are, come from the overflow of your heart.
Right.
And when you think about Iran has a minister of jihad. Don't they have a minister of jihad?
Right. They sure do. We sure do. About
it looks like the Palestinians have a minister of jihad as well.
Yeah.
Isn't that true?
Yeah,
like, make sure we have
true.
The related yeah. link so there's context to it. But, and jihad is holy war in the name of Allah.
Right.
You know, and their God, which is no God at all. And their prophet, which is
Muhammad,
which is a prophet of Allah, but not a prophet of God, which denies Jesus Christ as the Son of God. And the very fact, if that puts something all over you when you hear that, is the very fact that you've already bought in. And the times when the Jews were being persecuted in Germany, you know, everybody just kind of was just hush-hush, you know, politically correct. You know, this is the nationalist mindset. This is what the folks are saying in regards to the nation right now. But we as Christians and Jews, we you have to speak up in love and in truth, and to just simply say that God is God, and there is only one way to him through his son Jesus Christ,
right.
Which is not, you have to understand, that is absolutely fact. There is no other
right.
way.
It's not a suggestion.
It's not a suggestion. And so to say what the truth is, and that to see in any way other than thank you,
mm-hmm.
you know, coming from that, from the church, you know, and those who claim to be Christians, which means Christ followers, that that's very, very important. And one thing that you look at history is that everybody was just politically correct. They're walking right into the trains, and it reminds me of the movie theater that they're playing this Christian movie, but it has prisoners over the top of the movie.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And people just walked. Christians just walked right. It didn't even faze them. As a matter of fact,
at
Christians,
all.
You know, people, Christians came out and began to get on folks who were talking about, you know, it says prisoners over the door. just listen to, go on in the train, get in the train, go get you a shower, just calm down, relax a little bit. That's what they told the Jews coming off the train. You have to understand that I know that a different gospel has been preached in America, but listen, Satan hates the human race. He hates the human race. Even those that serve him, he hates them because They're creating the image and the likeness of God. That's why men can accomplish so much, that even in the Tower of Babel, that God came down and confused the language of men, because men have the ability to create and to accomplish things and set commonality and unity and vision and that type of thing. Which, by the way, just because your thing is coming to pass don't mean it's of God. You need to check yourself, make sure that it is of God.
Tower of Babel told us that, right?
Yeah, sure it did, you know. And be careful who you unify with as well. But, and the big thing is you deal with pride. Mm. You know, make sure there's no pride. And pride will just shut down your ability to see, to hear, to make corrections. But in the context of that, that everybody was politically correct. Everybody was just saying, let's just get through this. You just get through this. And I see a lot of that today with Israel, where there's a big majority of a large portion of Jews in Israel that are just have this mindset that we can work our way through this. You know, we just need to give them more land. We just need to give them more this. We just need to give them more that. And I can understand, you know, peace, you know, maybe this will work, maybe that'll work, but it's never going to happen. You're never going to have peace with Satan. If you marry Lucifer, just understand your marriage is never going to be peaceful.
Right. Right. It's wishful thinking.
Because Lucifer is going to make you think, you know, okay, the marriage will be better if you do this.
Right.
The marriage will be better if you do that. You got to pray that man or woman gets saved.
Hello.
Because you're never going to have peace. It doesn't matter what you give up, but don't give up God. And if Israel signs some sort of peace treaty with those who are controlled by Lucifer, it's not going to be good for Israel. They don't, but they're upfront about it. But understand this, you might be able to see because God's given you eyes to see. But, you know, Israel, some of the Jews might not be able to see how obvious this is. I know that Benjamin Netanyahu, he could see. Well, Prime Minister is clear as can be about that. And I'm sure there's a lot who are, but the people who are not the leaders, it seems sometimes when you're seeing them interviewed, you're thinking like, don't you understand?
Yeah.
That these guys hate you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They hate Christians and they hate Jews, and they're not sad. They're every day they're praying five times a day to their God in the name of their prophet, and preaching and teaching all. And these imams are preaching about your destruction, and that from a book that says that even it won't be over until you're pushed into the sea, until even the rock says, "I got one hiding behind me or one under here."
Yeah,
I mean, how in the world? Yeah. You know, other than deception.
And it seems like they just simply forgot, especially a lot of the young people, they're forgetting their own history.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, and I remember when I was in Israel, it's become so westernized. I'll never forget, I'm on the Sea of Galilee.
Mm-hmm.
I'm in this, you know, this hotel is on the Sea of Galilee, and I'm hearing this music. I'm like, where is this coming from?
Right.
And this is this whole, it was a, I guess, some sort of a nightclub on the base of the Sea of Galilee.
Right.
And it's pumping all of this music. I'm thinking, wow, this is... It becomes so westernized. I'm in the hills, and you're going up the mountains, and all of a sudden I see this little truck, a Coca-Cola truck. It's like 1996 Olympics, which you don't expect, but it's so much of like American culture that's influenced Israel that a lot of the young people.
It's a very secular nation.
It's a secular nation. They forgot their own history, that you have a real enemy that really wants to wipe you out.
Yeah, and I think, you know, some of that comes from, you know, seeing how you were persecuted and you were singled out. So let's just get along, and everybody. But included in that crowd is somebody who wants to end your life, that has a bomb strapped to their chest.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's been praying to their perception of God, who says that, you know, you're supposed to be wiped off the face of the earth. And so that's the church's role. The church's role is to pray for the peace of Israel, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We need to pray for our leadership. If, you know, it's real difficult to pray the right way, but you need to pray the right way for those who are poking their finger in the face of God.
Yeah.
Understand that in the eye of God. And the only thing, they're held captive by Lucifer, by Satan, to do his will, which means their hope for them is not to have a bigger oppressor over that particular leader, have some more darkness over them. The biggest hope for them is going to be for them to be set free.
Find Jesus Christ. Right.
Be set free, have ears to hear and eyes to see, and have a road to Damascus experience. So that's how you pray for leadership. You pray, you know, that's why they say God save the king. God save the queen. That's what they're talking about. You know, you gotta, dear God, you know, save our leaders, yeah. Save them and have a road to Damascus experience in the context of that. And that's how you pray for them. You don't pray for them by, you know, more oppression, and you're praying some religious, you know, mindset over them, and you're ridiculing them, joining the crowds of ridicule. Yeah, you can speak truth, but you speak it with respect and see how, you know, Nehemiah approached the king. See how Jesus approached authority. See how Paul approached authority, and to understand that. And if we want to get through this and Israel to survive and America to survive, we have to learn how to repent and learn how to pray, because there's power in prayer. And we got to pray for folks to be saved. Mm-hmm. We have to pray for folks to make it. That God too speak to our president and protect our president and the family from the plans of the evil one, and to break off all ungodly counsel and counsel that, and understand this, that just like our president's pastor said, you have to understand he was selected before he was elected, which means we got to break off that selection council who's trying to manipulate the policies of the world and America through our authority. And just pray that his authority will not be seduced, but he would truly have authority up under God. We got to begin to pray for Israel, pray for our leaders, and our God will give us victory if we'll do that. Make sure you stay tuned. Don't forget, we're four programs back to back. We're going to continue this conversation talking about Nehemiah. What does that mean for today?
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even a map. Visit VFNTV.com. We want to ask you to partner. Listen, you're giving, your contributions. We're doing this together. We're taking the gospel all around the world. Every bit counts. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. For me today...
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts? You go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. If you haven't yet gone to the front of VFNTV.com, and there's a big link right there in the middle that says visit our sponsors. I want you to go there and just, you see them, you go there, click on visit our sponsors, and you'll see them, and they just continue coming in. We just thank God for our sponsors and our partners. And our partners are those who partner with us prayerfully and financially every single month, giving a financial gift. And our sponsors and underwriters are those businesses and ministries who stand up and say, listen, we too want to stand up for God and country in that order and for Israel. And you can see them all. And it's there for a reason. It's there so you can know, you know what? If I need a particular product or a particular service, and I want to stand with those who are standing up for country, God and country, and Israel, I'm going to go to VFNTV.com, and I'm going to see, is there a sponsor there right now? And if you provide a business or a service and you're not up, you need to do it. You need to say, hey, I want to be one of the ones that people come to. I want them to know when you buy our service, when you buy our product, you are saying, I stand with VFNTV and the daily radio program because I truly want to be able to keep the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, which is a command from God for us. And the hope for America is the light of God's word, the light of truth. And we're standing together. So you can go to VFNTV.com, click on visit our sponsors, and you can see firsthand, not only that, but maps on how to get to them and so much other. Thank you to our sponsors. Thank you to our partners. And God bless.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, a big shout out and hello to our Christian Television Network audience out there and our VFN Radio audience as well, around the nation, around the world. I'm Greg Lancaster. Join us today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Oh, my goodness. We had a late production note right there. Came in as we were going live. That's exciting. Isn't it exciting?
Very exciting.
That is amazing. Humility is a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, we are going to be talking today about Nehemiah. Understanding if we study Nehemiah, and it's so important because this is a time that God's people were in captivity, but it tells the story about true story, historical reality, how God's people got into captivity. And it's the sum total of repentance. And I'm looking forward to being able to talk about that today. If you missed our earlier programs this week, make sure you catch them at vfntv.com. And if you have not yet subscribed to our newsletter, The Torch, it's simple to do. Text right now from your phone, VVictor, VFNTV, to the number 22828. That's VFNTV to the number 22828. And every week you can be informed and enlightened and inspired by what you need to hear that week from the VFN radio and television program. Well, I just want to go right into talking today about Nehemiah, because when you think about repentance, the biggest thing about, there's nothing more beautiful than true repentance, and there's nothing more sorry than sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, how many times are you going to say you're sorry, but you do the same thing?
Mm.
I think God says that, right?
Yeah.
How many times are you going to flatter me with your lips, but you're still going to do the same thing? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, which means it's not repentance at all. So God does not switch things around because of our lips. He switches things around because of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter what we say. It matters what we do in our life and all. And so Nehemiah, when you look at Nehemiah, and you can see it's a book in the Bible called Nehemiah in the Old Testament. Here this man is. He is with all of God's folks, you know, in captivity. And they're under an oppressive government. They're under an oppressive government, and they are employed by it or under it. And they're working, they're doing their job. And there comes a time when, you know, prophets are nothing but Jeremiah is letting you know that you're about to go work like Nehemiah is about to work.
Hmm.
Or his previous generations are like Daniel or something of that nature. And you have to know the seasons and the times that you're in, because if you act like you're, you know, a prophet, Elijah, when you're actually in the season of Jeremiah, you won't last that long. Yeah, right? Because Jeremiah was saying, you're going to go into captivity. You wouldn't listen to anything that I said. You're going to go into captivity, you know, and he kind of rehearsed everything. But you look at, when you read Nehemiah, you're seeing the very same thing. Things are being rehearsed here, but this time it's through repentance. So it is a rehearsal of the reality of how we got here. And when you look at Nehemiah chapter 1, I mean, so first you have to understand, if you can't even work for your boss without an attitude, you're not ready for the deliverance that Nehemiah gets. If you can't even live in your marriage in the order that God's called it to, you're just wasting your breath and flattering God that you want the deliverance that Nehemiah got and that Israel got. If you can't even honor the king, if you can't even honor our president and the leadership and the things that are set out around you, and you're openly in the name of God, you know, attacking their character and the things of that nature. I mean, if you were a cup bearer to the leadership, you would probably bring poison instead of bring a good cup of wine. Mm. And this Nehemiah was a servant. He was the wine bearer to the king, and he would bring what he would drink. I mean, think about how important that job is, that so often, you know, kings are, and their lives are being threatened by others. And as a matter of fact, I heard recently, I don't know where I heard this from, but there's so many different methodologies now to be able to harm someone, that our president has the largest medical staff in the history of presidencies, because they have to test him continually, because people could put like biochemical things and,
wow.
and the air. If he goes somewhere, I mean, we got to pray protection over him. And just watching what happened in South Africa with this interpreter of sign language dude
wow.
who was an intruder. I mean, God protected our president down there.
No doubt. Wow.
But there's so many different ways. And so to be that cupbearer, you're sort of like the medical team and the Secret Service around the president, that you're that you're going to make sure what goes in his mouth does not harm him or hurt him. And that it's good and it's quality, because you could lose your head in the presence of a king. I mean, you could, because all of a sudden when the king looks at Nehemiah and just notices his expression was different, because everybody that approaches the king would honor that king. I mean, you couldn't approach him unless there was honor in regards to that. And people just didn't approach him with a frown or whatever.
Right.
And so he came in there one day and he was bringing him, he was doing his job. He was doing his job. What a concept, church.
Mm-hmm.
Do your job, you know,
yeah.
work, get off the government till, put your tiller in the ground and begin to work for someone before God. Do we want deliverance or not?
Mm-hmm.
Do we want deliverance or not? Get into them. I mean, I remember reading a book years ago from a leader in ministry sometime back, and I was shocked, but it's a reality. He was talking about, you know, pastors. That, you know, if all you got to do is preach once a week or twice a week, I mean, if you're really hitting the marks three times a week, he said that pastors have a tendency to be lazy and slothful and just kind of exist until they preach again.
Right.
I mean, that's what he was saying. I'm not saying that. But I'm thinking, who are you serving if that's how you're going to spend your whole week? How are you going to preach repentance if you spent your whole week not living in that repentance?
Mm-hmm.
If you hadn't spent your whole week being busy about the Father's business. And I'm not saying that's all cases. And I'm not only saying that's the case. I'm just saying what this particular one leader had written. And I thought, man, what a shock. I can imagine just sitting around waiting until I'm like, oh my goodness. Then Googling a message or something, you know, downloading a message.
Copy paste.
That's not a vision. That's a great
image.
But it's the same thing with your job. It's the same thing with your job. And understand, I mean, we're talking about, you know, if we want to get what God gave Nehemiah, because God just looks for someone to stand in the gap. He just looks for someone that says, you know, I'm seeing clearly now. I see that it's my sin and the sin of your people, my brothers and sisters, that has gotten us into this. It wasn't the king's fault. It wasn't the people that weren't Jews' fault. It wasn't, you know, it was us. I looked in the mirror to see what my issue would be, and I saw that my issue was me. That's what he said. And our forefathers. And so he went back and he began to say, my goodness, you know, we have, and so he's so distraught over the condition and what's taking place. When he begins to pray, he sat down and just looked. He just looked at everything. And this is how you know you're on the journey. When you begin to just look at the conditions and see where things are at. I mean, don't you want the walls to be rebuilt again in the kingdom of God in America? Don't you want to see it again? Well, this is the prerequisite. The first thing is do your job.
Mm-hmm.
The testimony of Jesus is being run because you're standing around the time clock 15 minutes before time to check out while you're saying you're excited about going seeing a preacher preach on that Thursday at some conference somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the man or the woman who's hiring you is paying you so much an hour to stand around that time clock. And if you wait 15 minutes and there's four people with you, he or she just paid an hour for you guys to stare at that time clock. But let me tell you this, the eyes of the Lord saw that. And if he's cupbearer to the king and he had to have a good attitude and even the expression on his face had to be good. I mean, that alone, do you understand what would happen if people started focusing just on the expression of their face and just say, you know what, I'm going to approach folks with a good attitude, gratitude, all that stuff. Imagine
a smile,
the world will change.
Teeth.
There must be something different about this Jesus. You know? That's what he did. I mean, think about it. And so here he goes, you know, in Nehemiah chapter 1, verse 4, he says, when I heard about these things, he was just seeing, you know, what was taken about. What did he hear about? He heard about the condition of what took place with Israel, with Jerusalem. This is what they said to him. They reported to him the condition of it. He says, you know, there's just a remnant of what was there that survived. In verse 3, he says, those who survived the exile are back in the provinces, and there's great trouble and there's great disgrace. I mean, tell me there's not great trouble and great disgrace. And if we don't know that there's great trouble and great disgrace, we may have to serve the king for quite some time. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And he said, the walls of Jerusalem is broken down. The wall is broken down. The church's wall is broken down right now.
Yeah.
I mean, It's just broken down. And we got, you know, things going on, but it's not the wall, the protection. Look at the damages that's taking place. And its gates have been burned with fire. What does that mean? The access, the authority, the authority of the church no longer exists in regards to that. And it's because of the sin of Israel, and it's because of our sin. Where is the authority? You know, think about it. The authority, gates represent the authority. And it's like, where is the authority in the church? And when authority shows up, I mean, think about when Jesus showed up and he's ministering, the people, the religious folks of that day, this is the one thing they said. Who is this? Who is this gate? Who is this man with the keys? Who is this man that speaks with such great authority? It was so foreign. Authority was so foreign to God's people at that time, or people that professed to be God's people, that when authority showed up, they thought, aren't those gates burned? What's this happening? And they just like, who is this? I mean, even demons just said, are you here before your time? You know, and that's when you tell that particular member that they're not really saved, but you need to get saved and get free or get gone. Anyway, so in verse 4, he says, you know, when I heard this, I sat down and I wept. I sat down and I wept. You think about that. I mean, have you even mourned over the condition of the church? You know, I went through a period of mourning. I thought I'd never come out. I mean, it was so deep that I thought, I just didn't think I would come out of it. You know, it was just so broken. I thought about, you know, the particular poem by the philosopher that said that Robert Kennedy quoted when he was whispered in his ear that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had died. Here his brother had died. Dr. King had died. And he was running for political office in America in the context of all of that. And now he ran thinking that, you know, my brother got killed, I might get killed. But then they whispered in his ear that Dr. King had been killed, which means my time is imminent. You know, but this is what he said. He said, pain that falls drop by drop on my heart that will not stop until sometime in my sleep, against my will, comes God's awesome grace. I mean, how can the pain stop? I mean, when you're seeing every day, you know, people busting hell wide open when somebody's talking about building a wing on their idol, and it's like, what are you doing? You know what I'm saying? It's like, you're just so broken over it. And I didn't think I would come out. I just really thought I was just so broken. Then what's really even more breaking over that is that when you're broken and you don't see anybody broken. And then at some point you start thinking, I'm dysfunctional. Something wrong with me. You know, there's something wrong with me, because those who profess to know Jesus, profess to hear what he's saying, they're rejoicing while people are dying and disgracing God and all these things are taking place. And that's a dangerous place to be there, because then you start doubting the reality of what God is saying. And I want to tell you what the Lord said to me, because if you're one of those broken folks, I want to encourage you in a moment after this break, because I'll share with you what the Lord said to me after this message.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
We found another way how you can stay connected with VFN Radio. It's the Torch newsletter. Every week, the Torch goes out into your email, whether it's on your phone, tablet, or home PC. The Torch newsletter is going to give you the best of the best of VFN Radio for that week. It's also going to give you all the latest highlights. Of course, you can sign up by going to vfntv.com and selecting newsletter sign up, or you can text VFNTV at 22828 and type in your email address. Sign up for the Torch newsletter now. We have a great way for your VFN Radio listeners to connect with us beyond the program. So many of our VFN Radio listeners want more. Well, we have more for you. You can go to VFNTV.com and select VFN Torch. When you see the VFN Torch, you'll be able to get our highlights, where we take the program beyond just what you hear on the radio. You'll see videos, you'll have pictures, and so much more. Not only will you be able to listen to these and watch more content, but you have the ability to email them to your friends, to your family, and spread the word. Let me tell you something. Take VFN Radio to the next level. Get more by going to VFNTV.com and select the VFN Torch now.
And, you know, we have a special offer for you, and I want to tell you about it. It's called Convergence. My goodness, it's a prophetic word that's amazing. And the whole title is called The Convergence, A Choir of Prophetic Words. And it talks about ineptocracy. Unless America turns, America will burn, and the coming great awakening. I mean, this was a word that was shared, a convergence, a coming together, if you will, of prophetic words that was just really absolutely amazing. And I remember this day like it was yesterday, because it just, God just filled, so filled the studio. We were so gripped. But you're going to hear words from Rick Joyner. You're going to hear words from Greg, vision that God gave me in regarding the economy and it crashing. You're going to hear words from David Wilkerson, Steve Hill. And it seems that all of these words are just coming together at one time. Because listen, God is preparing his church. God is preparing his church. He's getting ready for a third great awakening. We want you to have this special offer. You can go to VFNTV.com, make an offer, any offer. But we want to get it to you so that you can be aware, you can know what God is saying, and so that you can prepare. Again, go to VFNTV.com, select a special offer, and get it today and share it with a friend.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We're continuing the conversation on Nehemiah. You know, if we want what Nehemiah got, we need to do what Nehemiah did. And we're talking about the sum total of repentance, really, when you think about it. And that particular poem that I was quoting, that Robert Kennedy quoted, and this is the way I kind of describe that whole journey. This seemed to go for quite some time. And pronounce his name.
E, that's a tough one.
Yeah, spelled A-E-S-C-H-Y-L-U-S, which I think is, that's what it is. I'm not going to try it again. But this is what he said. This is what Robert Kennedy said after he heard, after whispered in his ear that what happened to his brother happened to, I believe, was an apostle of God, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., an American Christian-American apostle. He said, even in our sleep, I mean, of all the things he could have said, you have to understand, it was just whispered in his ear on the campaign trail. Robert Kennedy had to face all of his fears that, you know, to run means I'm could have the same destiny of my brother.
Mm-hmm.
It was his John F. Kennedy, who was assassinated in office. And he's on the campaign trail, and all of a sudden, the assassin who assassinates this apostle, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., you know, the immediately the tragedy ripples right into the ear of Robert Kennedy as he's speaking, and they whisper in his ear, Dr. King has just been assassinated. And he pauses, and a man who's already weighed his own eternity, because he knew by running that and so did Dr. King. This is what he said. He said, and this is probably how you're feeling in the context, if you're looking at the brokenness of what's taking place, if you're like Nehemiah and you're going through that beginning journey of, you see the state of God's folks, you see where things are at. And he says, even in our sleep, pain, which cannot forget. I mean, think about that. Mm-hmm. There's been so much pain in this country.
Mm-hmm.
Even in our sleep, pain which cannot forget falls drop by drop upon the heart until, in our own despair, against our will, comes wisdom through the awesome grace of God. I mean, you think about that. That's all I can say, how I came out of it. You know, I'm like, oh, and this is what God showed me. He showed me Ezekiel chapter 9, when God was going to begin to people were about to get to pay consequences for their refusal to respond to God and God's prophets and what was going on and all the destruction that was going on. And what he did is he said, first, before you do this, before you go and bring to pass the consequences on my people, I want you to go through there and look for the ones who are lamenting. Look for the ones who are like Nehemiah. Look for the ones that like the, as the nation mourned for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and John F. Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, the brokenness. Look for those who mourn and lament over the detestable things. He says, this is what he said in Ezekiel 9:4. He says, go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the forehead of those who grieve and lament over all the detestable things that are done in it. And that's where Nehemiah was. I mean, if you're not at that point, if you're not at that point of being, you just, you know, they're looking to God for a stimulus package. There's people out there going, you know, hey, I'd like to have a miracle. I'd like to have some stuff and some things, you know, I'd like, to, you know, hey, why not be healed? Yeah, I'd like to have a healing. Yeah, I know people, man, that just so many things that God had done. And they just walk right straight away from, what from God. Take credit for it. Begin to explain in their own mind. It just makes me want to puke when somebody puts their mind on the miracle of God. Just blows me away. Don't you dare try to connect those dots. Don't you remember what you were when you were first called? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, get your mind off of God's stuff and put your heart in what he's doing. And so in the context of that is that the reason why they were going to be spared because they were broken over it. They were like Nehemiah. They were broken over the condition. And you have to understand, then that means if you've heard first of all, you got to hear the report and go to the VFN torch, you know, get a viewpoint of the condition of the church in America, and see the condition, see what God is saying over her. See if you are her in the context of that aspect of it. And just say, God, break my heart over this. I am not broken over the things that break your heart. I am not distraught. I don't lament over the fact that this man's about to bust well wide open. I don't lament over the fact that 97% of the church in America is robbing from you in tithes and offerings. I don't lament the fact that people are building these facades and these facilities and spending $1.3 million per, quote, baptized believer, according to George Barna. Why the church is just in deep bondage, and we're in deep sin, and we've accepted what is right, wrong is right, and what is right is wrong, and yes is no, and no is yes, and we're demanding itching ear prophets to stand around us, and people, it's amazing, you got somebody prophesying to you for 6 months straight, and some man comes in the room that calls himself a prophet and gives you a word that agrees with your sin and rebellion, and you latch onto that, and you continue on your path to hell. Listen, dude. You have to understand if what's God saying to you, ma'am, what's God saying to you, sir, it lines up with the word of God. That's a prophet speaking to you and speaking. Don't be just pushing that aside. Don't be an Ahab looking for kind, enticing, sweet words. Just thank God that he's speaking to you. And what separated Nehemiah and what separated these folks right here was that they were lamenting over the same thing that God was lamenting over. They were broken, which was encouraging to me because I almost began to feel dysfunctional because, you know, I mean, you know the journey when you're seeing, you know, people who call themselves men of God and women of God, and they're actually destroying the work of God.
Yeah,
they're attacking the work of God in the name of God.
In the name of God. Yeah.
And then you see the whole crew that kind of gets behind that whole thing, and it's like, you're like those folks, those ridicule folks talked about in the vision of the torch and the sword
Rick Joyner.
Yeah, Rick Joyner talks about in the vision that God had given him. If you haven't seen that, you need to find out what side you're on. And if God was already moving, if God was already touching folks, if the whole world was already stirring and your presence stopped that, you got to check yourself and say, you know, what happened? And watch out who you're following. You know, watch out who you're following. Follow Jesus. This is what Paul said. Paul said, you know, you're arguing over, I'm following this one, I'm following that one. Follow Jesus, brother. Follow Jesus, sister. And then you hear the voice of God and you relate to wherever he calls you to relate to. But it's Jesus that you're following. You know, we're all one family if you're in the body of Christ. So it's Jesus that we're following. And so I thought, you know, hey, I must be dysfunctional. But when God showed me that, and then we went through a time of fasting and prayer, of about a 7-day time of fasting and prayer. And you know, and he hadn't showed this to me yet. And I'm still carrying that burden for a long period of time. And at the end of the fasting and prayer, I was talking to the leaders around the nation on a phone call. We had a conference call going on. And I stepped outside near the studio, and I looked straight up. I look straight up, and right over the right smack dab in a beautiful blue sky was a mark, literally an X right over the VFN television studios. Mm-hmm. And God downloaded instantly Ezekiel to me. And he says, you know, I put a mark on you. Mm. And it's not wrong to be broken over the condition of his people. It's not wrong to feel the pain of God's heart. I mean, you need a grace to be able to even kind of tap into it. But understand, it's like, this is the right thing, because the process of being a Nehemiah is the first thing you have to do is say, tell me the truth. What's the condition of the church? And then you got to handle it. And then you got to pray to God, I'm not broken over this. This doesn't bother me. And the reason why is you're poor, naked, and blind, but you don't know it. Mm. You got to repent from the pride in your life and not discompassion. You have no compassion for the people and the human race. Begin to say, dear God, let go. Do everything that you've got to do what God's called you to do. Let go of everything that's keeping you from doing what God and responding with the heart of God, the way he would want you to respond, because you want that mark to be put on you in the context of what's about to happen starting this year. It's about to crank up a notch. We're going to continue this conversation. Don't forget, this week, four programs back-to-back talking about Nehemiah. Dear God, help us rebuild the walls. Help us have true repentance in our life.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them today at VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses, even maps. Visit VFNTV.com and become a sponsor or a partner. Listen, do it today. It's your partnership, your giving financially, that is helping us take the gospel all around the world. Let's partner and do it together. VFNTV.com. Become a partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. John, do you know the VFN TV app is out, right? I think it's 4.0, man.
4.0.
That is so cool. And they're doing a wonderful job at designing it and putting it together. And yes, everything that we're saying and doing is available now on the VFN TV app. All you got to do is go to your app store, type in VVictor, VFN TV, and it just shows up. Or you can go to VFNTV.com. And click on the appropriate store, whichever one you actually have your phone with. But it's so important. You can listen to highlights. You can listen to the programs. You can listen to us live. We're live 24/7, 7 days a week. And some encouraging words, any prophetic words that are coming out. You know, God's news behind the news. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. Listen, get the app. It's totally free, by the way. Go to your app store and find it today. Just type in VFN TV. It'll pop up, download it for free, or go to VFNTV.com.
We want to give a special thanks to our sponsors and our partners. Visit VFNTV.com. We have all their contact information for you, phone numbers, web addresses. We even have a map. We want to thank all of our sponsors and our partners. Become a partner today. Listen, your financial gifts, your sowing, partnering with us, helps us to take the gospel all around the world. Let's do this together. Let's keep the conversation light. VFNTV.com. Partner today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com
on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.